Buenos dias. Happy day of Pentecost to all. Welcome to our home. And it's really good to have you join us in our home. That was amazing, special music. It's interesting how the COVID-19 situation has brought out the creativity of people. And actually, in our neighborhood, we're getting to know people much better just by talking to them outside. And people seem to be much more in tune with the idea of relationships. So as much as it's been difficult on all of us, there is the bright spot of some of the creativity and even some of the relationships that we are building with others at this time. We pray that you all are safe and that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is with you at this very difficult time for many. It's not only the COVID-19 and the challenges economically and the other matters as well, but I know there are people out there really going through some difficult trials. And may God's peace be with you at this time on this very special day. To begin my message, I'd like to talk about Christian sociologist Tony Campolo. And he once conducted a research project for people all over the age of 65. As background, Tony Campolo is a professor emeritus of sociology at Eastern University, a former faculty member at the University of Pennsylvania, and the founder and president of the Evangelical Association for the Promotion of Education. In the study, people were asked, as you look back on your life, most people 95 years and above, what do you wish you had done differently? Three answers emerged from the sizable majority of the participants in the study. The first answer from the respondents was they wish they had spent more time in reflection. The people surveyed answered that they would reflect more if they had been given a life of redo. They would stop, think, consider with intensity the things they took for granted the first time around. In other words, the elderly in the research study felt that in their life they failed to focus on things that had real significance. A second answer from the respondents was they wished they had risked more. It was noted that the elderly respondents in the study didn't examine their lives in terms of all the successes or failures, but by the risks not taken or what could have been. They realized a lot of things that they may have deemed success or failure in life weren't so important in retrospect. Life is full of risks. The friends we choose, the things we do, the careers we pursue, the directions we take. It wasn't all about their success and failures. It was about regretting not taking risks. Maybe choosing a career path that would have been far more exciting, but filled with challenges. The third most common answer they gave in response to the question, as you look back in your life, what do you wish you would have done differently, is one that I would like to address today in this message. They answered that they wish they had done more to leave a legacy, something to pass on to the next generation. Vocabulary.com says the following about the term legacy. Use of the word legacy is something handed down from one generation to the next. A retiring company president might leave a legacy of honesty and integrity. Legacy comes from the Latin verb legare, to appoint by a last will, send, as an ambassador. Originally, the noun meant ambassador or envoy, but soon shifted to mean the money and property a person leaves behind in his will. Many university scholarships are funded by the legacies of former students. In recent usage, political leaders are said to be concerned with their legacy, the historically significant achievements of their tenure in office. Today, we are celebrating the day of Pentecost. This day points to a time where the Spirit of God is given to his disciples. Let's turn to Acts 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. It states in Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the ability to speak so that everyone in the audience could hear them in their own language. It amazed them, confused them. It caused them to make the following statement in verse 12. And I'd like to read the statement from the English Standard Version. And it states, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? I would like to consider this question. What does it mean? In context of our lives, as first fruits, what does that event, the giving of God's Spirit, this day mean to us, those part of God's family, made in the image of God? In light of the research study I discussed earlier, I believe the meaning of this day, the day of Pentecost, can be associated with the concept, the idea of legacy. The legacy of those who have come before us, as well as considering what we are doing in our lives and its impact upon others. I believe the day of Pentecost is the time to consider our legacy. Not just what we hope to pass on in the future, but what are we doing now to establish our legacy? What is the legacy we are establishing now as a church, as individuals, made in the image of God? For those who would like the title to this message, it is, What is Our Legacy? What is our legacy? Note, I did not say what will be our legacy, but what is our legacy. In this message, I have various quotes about legacy that will come up on the screen. And Mr. Frank Fish and I are going to coordinate this. And I will pause the message for you to read and consider each one of these quotes. I'll pause for about 15 seconds. And we'll review them in light of Pentecost in this message. For example, Frank, bring up the first message.
Please think about your legacy, because you're writing it every day.
Soon after God's Spirit was given to the disciples, what occurred with the people who received God's Spirit? And we can read about this in Acts 2. 41 to 42. Acts 2, verse 41 to 42. So go down a bit. And it states, and those who gladly received the word were baptized, and on that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles in doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. What occurred after God's Spirit was given? It's the discussion of doctrine, fellowship, having a meal together, praying together, koinonia. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship. It refers to community, one's place in a group, and the representation of fellowship, such as a gift. It denotes intimacy, denotes sharing. This is the legacy of the church. This is what it was known for. One of the things that it's remembered for as it started out. What about our legacy? What about our legacy as a church, as a congregation? What is our legacy as an individual, as members of God's family? We can go to the next slide. As I understand, there's some on the phone, so I will read it. Legacy. Leaving a legacy of faith means desiring to give someone your best, but recognizing the best we can give is not of us. We make our greatest impact on others by living a life that points to others too. Now, when we think of legacy, we think of inheritance, we think of Proverbs 13:22. So if we could turn that. Proverbs 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13, verse 22. It states in Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Land, in ancient Israel, land was sacred, for God had assured his people that they would possess the promised land. Owning land was a sign of God's blessing. Thus, land had a unique significance. Not only that, but Israelites were largely subsistence farmers. Without land, they would soon become destitute, become dependent on the charity of others, or even be enslaved. A diligent father bore the responsibility of maintaining his land and passing it to the next generation. Thus, leaving land to one's children was important in an agrarian society. And many times this verse is used with regard to providing a monetary legacy. However, the Bible Illustrator notes comments on this verse as follows. The happiness of men
less on their external conditions than on their personal virtues. The effects of a man's habits are transmitted to his children and even to their descendants. They derive from his character a sufficient and permanent inheritance. It goes on to four aspects of leaving an inheritance. First, the instruction of a good man is an inheritance to his children. Number two, the example of a good man is an inheritance to their children. Number three, the care and protection of Providence are inheritance to a good man's children. Number four, the kindness of a faithful man is inheritance to a good man's children. Just as land was important in leaving a legacy to heirs, to children, to children's children, so are our actions. Our actions paint a pathway for those to follow. Leaving an inheritance is not only land or something monetary. It can mean that, but it is so much more. Our legacy we leave is much more than monetary. But what does that mean to those of us who don't have children, don't have heirs, don't have a legacy to leave? Does this particular scripture only apply to those who have children? If we believe that, we fail to understand the meaning of the term legacy. Turn to Revelation 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. It states in Revelation 20, verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they have done." All will be judged by what they have done. So the question we should ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are we known for? In the context of this message, what is our legacy? Some may be thinking, why are we concerned about legacy now? It is something that is determined after we have passed from this life, when we're gone. what people will remember about us. And that is partially true. Inherent with the concept of legacy is the look of a person's past actions and deeds in this life. It's a retrospective of sorts. But the legacy we established is determined by our actions in this life, not only at some later date, but now. What are we doing now? What people are we impacting now? Where are we going now? What is being written in the book of life now? We could go to the third slide. For those on the phone, legacy is not what is left tomorrow when you're gone. It is what you give, create, impact, and contribute today while you are here that then happens to live on. So how do we build a legacy? What do we need to do to build and impart to others a positive and meaningful legacy? I would like to look at three actions to consider. Three actions that I believe will help us build a positive and meaningful legacy. The first is valuing time. Valuing time. Establishing a legacy is a long-term view, but it begins by valuing time. Appreciating the time we have in this life, treating time as a gift. In the modern world, we've distorted our understanding and experience of the speed and the span of time. We're surrounded by a fast-paced, complex society and bombarded from the new with new trends from technology. And the old ideas, old technology, and people are quickly dismissed. At times, it feels that we experience one narrow, superficial, artificially conceived, rushed, and disconnected moment one after another. The result is that too often, in all areas, it makes us poorly informed, and we make bad short-term decisions. We neglect the things that are important. Our relationship with God, with family, and with others. Our distorted relationship with time confines us to short-term thinking and misplaced priorities rather than allowing us to see and act in the bigger picture. We live in a society that lives by the moment, a word that I found researching this message. And as I've been able to understand, the moment is basically defined as living with a short-term mentality, living for the moment rather than for the long-term. It merges time and speed. It views time as fast-paced. For example, how quickly can we be immediately gratified without considering the long-term impact of our actions? The Legacy Project provides context to the term moment as follows. The imperative of the moment keeps us constrained in short-term thinking. On a societal level, it's not surprising that we can't solve big problems like economic disparity and environmental degradation. On an individual level, research shows more people are feeling empty and alone, despite more opportunities, material goods, and the world at our fingertips through the internet. The moment is a uniquely modern phenomenon created by the ways we've changed our understanding and the experience and the speed and the span of time. Turn to Psalms 90, verse 12. Psalms 90, verse 12. Psalms 90, verse 12. It states in Psalms 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This psalm reminds us that life is finite. When we are young, we do not see it as that much. There's so much of life ahead. But as we age, we realize that life does move on. And before we realize it, quite a bit of life has passed us by. We start viewing life with regard to what has passed us by rather than what's ahead of us. It could have been that we were so focused on the moment, we failed to appreciate the time we have been given. And realizing that life, that the time we've been given in this physical life is finite, it's limited, will provide us wisdom. The wisdom in valuing and appreciating the time we have. It's valuing and appreciating the time others have as well. And we take that into consideration in our actions. We understand that time is a precious gift, and we need to value it as such. Appreciating time does not mean we don't take the time to smell the roses, to view a sunset, to enjoy the company of others. But it's valuing those times. In appreciating time, I'm not just talking about the accomplishment of tasks, but enjoying, appreciating all that life has to offer. When we smell a rose, we realize life has its blessings and its joys. When we view a sunset, we're appreciative of the power of God. When we enjoy the company of others, we appreciate the time listening to them, encouraging them, no matter who they are. It's understanding that life, the time we have been given, is a gift from God, and all of our actions reflect that knowledge. What are we doing with our time? What legacy are we building? We could go to the next slide. It states, what counts in life is not the mere fact that we have lived. It is what difference we have made in the lives of others. Building a positive and meaningful legacy is not about making decisions and investing in things as our days conclude. It's a process. And it takes action. It is something we all have a part in. Whether young or old, our legacy is built over time. And that's something we should be doing now and every day. It's not just living in the moment. The second action in building a positive and meaningful legacy, a legacy for today, is consider the impact our words have on others. Consider the impact our words have on others. One University of Arizona study in 2007 estimated that people speak between 15 and 16,000 words a day. How are we using our words? How we use words is very important. Because once something has been said, it can't be unsaid. The legacy has been created. Thus, we need to be thoughtful of our words, of what we say. Let's consider some scriptures with regard to the use of our words. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 4. Proverbs 18, verse 4. Proverbs 18, verse 4. It states in Proverbs 18, verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. A person's words can be life-giving waters. What about our words? What lasting impression are we making with our words? Proverbs 12, verse 8. Proverbs 12, verse 8. Proverbs 12, verse 18, Proverbs 12, verse 18, and I'd like to read from the English Standard Version, Proverbs 12, verse 18. It states, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Colossians 4, verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. It states, "Let your speech always be filled with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one." What do people remember us for? What will people remember us for? When someone mentions our name, what comes to mind? And in many ways, it's based on the words we use, our conversations. Are they encouraging or demeaning? Do they lift up or do they tear down? Do they reflect optimism or pessimism? Are they graceful or are they harsh? And this does not only apply to those we interact with in our communities, those at work, or those at our congregation, but with our families as well. Do our words inspire? Do our words encourage? How are the words we are using shaping our legacy? What will people remember about the words we have used? If we could go to slide 5. States, legacy is not leaving something for people. It's leaving something in people. The third action in building a positive and meaningful legacy, perform routine self-assessments. Perform routine self-assessments. And going back to the study we referred to, one of the items the seniors indicated that they wish they did as they moved along in life was to reflect more, that if given the life to live over, that they would stop, think, and consider with intensity the things they took for granted the first time around. We too need to periodically stop and think about what we are doing, where we're going. We need to have an accurate assessment of whether the actions in our life is in line with the legacy we are building and what we will leave. It's assessing how our current thoughts and actions are impacting us, impacting others, and conforms with the image of God in our lives. Lewis Carroll once noted, "If you don't know where you are going, any road can take you there." The process of self-examination, self-assessment is important. Turn to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And I'd like to read from the English Standard Version. "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail to meet the test." Lamentations 3, verse 40. Lamentations 3, verse 40. Lamentations 3, verse 40. Lamentations 3, verse 40. "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord." As members of God's family, self-assessment becomes an increasingly important part of our faith as we grow and mature spiritually. Having regular reflection on how we're performing in accordance with our faith and what steps we need to take to remedy any areas of weakness helps us to become stronger spiritually. It also enables us to tackle problems before they become out of control. And it's important in establishing a positive and meaningful legacy. Self-assessment is reflecting upon the past with the goal of moving forward. It's not a self-punishment technique where we wallow in the past and feel sorry for ourselves and constantly looking at the mistakes we made in the past, the things we should have or should not have done. No, it involves learning from the past and moving forward. If we could go to the next slide. You can't make footprints in the sands of time by sitting on your butt. And who wants to leave butt prints in the sand of time? A unique phraseology, but it gets the point across. We have to move forward in the sands of time. We can't sit and feel sorry for ourselves. We have to move forward. However, when we look at our assessment, our self-assessment can be flawed if we solely rely on ourselves. Have you ever been concerned about a health issue and looked it up, your symptoms on the internet, and then become even more worried that your condition could be X or Y or even Z? And we begin to think the worst. Thinking the worst oftentimes results in millions of internet-based self-diagnosis searches every year. According to research done by Harvard Medical School, online symptom checkers only have a 34% success rate. It's fair to conclude that self-examination in such circumstances constantly go awry. Thus, our self-assessment may be flawed. It can be impacted by our outlook, our own biases, our own history. We could be too harsh on ourselves. We can also, on the other hand, be too lenient on ourselves. Thus, we have to look to God to guide us in our self-assessment. Turn to Psalms 139, verse 23. Psalms 139, verse 23. Psalms 139, verse 23, and I'd like to read from the New Living Translation, if I may. Psalms 139, verse 23. States, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." In our self-assessment, we look to God for guidance to understand ourselves. But we should also look to others, family, friends, those who we trust and will be honest with us to help us see ourselves correctly as we build our legacy. The legacy we are building today. Let's turn to Proverbs 15, verse 31. Proverbs 15, verse 31. Proverbs 15, verse 31. It states in Proverbs 15, verse 31, "The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise." And I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. "If you listen to constructive criticism, you'll be at home among the wise." Now, as we know, constructive criticism is not always easy, but it's important as we take a self-assessment, as we build our legacy. Whether or not we think about it or not, we are in the process of building a legacy. Whether you're a teen, young adult, middle age, elderly, every one of us is building a legacy. The decisions we make now build a legacy. The decisions we'll make in the future build a legacy. Everything we do, every action, every reaction, every priority is building a legacy that people will remember. They'll remember it now, as well as after we are gone. We could have the next slide. Our fingerprints do not fade from the lives we touch. It doesn't matter if you're a teen, a young adult, midlife, or elderly, we all have a part now in building our legacy. Building a legacy doesn't start at age 50. We start now. And it's never too late to start as well. We can do that by valuing time, by considering the impact of our words on others, and performing routine self-assessments. We may not see the impact in our lifetime, but the legacy we build now and the actions we take now in our lives and in the lives of others can impact future generations. It can make a difference not only in our lives, but in the others' lives of others we interact with. I think back to my years, teen years in the church, and I remember the kindness and the mentorship of Oscar Wolfe. He was an individual who was single at the time, who for some reason looked out for me during the troubling times as a teenager. He would take me out to breakfast once in a while. He attended a regional track meet that I was in high school. He even let me once use his brand new car to go on a church dance with a date. He was a trusted mentor who helped me navigate through those years. We lost track of each other over time. He got married, had a son, and I'm not sure if he ever understood the impact he made in my life, but he did, and I thank him for that. If we can go to the next slide, slide number 8. States, carve your name on the hearts, not tombstones. A legacy is etched into the minds of others and the stories they share about you. The early church left a legacy of koinonia, intimate, caring fellowship. What will be our legacy as a church, as a congregation, as an individual? Before I conclude this message with one last slide, I would like to go over the quotes we looked at today in our life of building a legacy. It started with, please think about your legacy because you're writing it every day. Leaving a legacy of faith means desiring to give someone your best, but recognizing the best we can give is not of us. We make our greatest impact on others by living a life that points others to Him. Legacy is not what is left tomorrow when you're gone. It's what you give, create, impact, and contribute today while you are here. That happens to live on. You can't make footprints in the sand of time by sitting on your butt. And who wants to leave footprints in the sand of time? Legacy is not leaving something for people. It's leaving something in people. What counts in life is not the mere fact that we have lived, is what difference we had made in the life of others. Our fingerprints do not fade from the lives we touch. Carve your names on the hearts and not tombstones. A legacy is etched into the minds of others and the stories they share about you. And finally, I have one last slide I like to put on the screen, and then we could read it together as we conclude this message. The greatest use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it.